This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Paul Olson, and he's going to give a reading of his work, from his work tonight. And I'm going to let him introduce himself, because I don't really know very much about him.
Well, I'm very glad I'm going to be here for a few days. Because I'd really rather talk about poetry or read somebody else's than myself, being at some stage of existence, which makes that sensible.
You don't
want to
tape recorder, do you?
No. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just watch it. Like a file. Let's sit here and watch that tape. What happens if it just goes on? I don't say anything. I wonder what. See, that's that problem of reading. As a matter of fact, you've got to be kind of a bore because it's become a performing art. You feel as though you have an audience and you're supposed to do a concert or something. And I don't think I believe in verse in this respect at all. I'm not sure I know I don't. This blazer asked me to introduce myself. Not even a fruitcake. I suppose I'm here because my coadjutor, Mr. Creeley, was here a year ago. And in fact, I feel very much at home because that previous tape, as far as I know, of a reading was, unless you've had someone in between, is Creeley's tape, which ran from this room, was it, into our kitchen in Gloucester. Directly, almost. I think it was in a matter of hours. It was like hotcakes. Have you had a poet read since?
Not since,
no. Then I see it's a trap. If I don't read, you'll all be disappointed. And if I do read, I'll have to be very careful because there'll have to be the poems that interest me. And I'm not so sure, from recent experience, that they're the poems which interest anyone.
You can do whatever you want.
I don't feel I'm free, but then I am, like, it's not a captive audience so much as a captive poet, I think. I've been working for quite a few years on a poem, which gets called the Maximus Poems. And this volume was published last year, which has the first three volumes. And the fourth volume is supposed to be published this year by the same publisher. And yet I'm tempted tonight, if I could feel your own experience a little more, to read you first some poems from the fifth volume, just because that's more where I am than where I was. This book dates back about 12 years, I think, as the first poems were 12 years ago. And I have no impression of how much that's
This book is...
Can someone give me some sense of how much you know the Maxim's poems? I'm really fishing because if I go to the fifth volume instead of the first, and the first is unknown, it's awkward for you, I believe.
I think probably it's fairly little known.
Yeah. The general proposition is to address yourself, or I mean this creature Maximus addresses himself to a city, which in the instance is Gloucester, which then in turn happens to be Massachusetts, that is Gloucester, Massachusetts. I'm not tall and pressed that there's necessarily any more Gloucester, Massachusetts in any meaningful sense than the creature is either me or whom he originally was intended as, which was was Maximus of Tyre, a second century dialectician. At least on the record, what he wrote was dialethi, which we have, I guess, in the word dialectic. Meaning intellectual essays or essays on intellectual subjects. And he mostly wandered around the Mediterranean world from the old capital of Tyre, talking about one thing, Homer's Odyssey. I don't have much more impression of him than that. I've tried to read his dialethi and found them not as interesting as I expected. But he represents to me some sort of a figure that centers much more than the second century A.D. In fact, as far as I feel it, like he's like the navel of the world, and in saying that, I'm not being poetic or loose. We come from a whole line of life which makes Delphi that center, I guess. I guess I can say that amongst you and be heard. And this, I think, is the kind of a thing that ought to be at least disturbed. I stress this part of it rather than just to make it possible for you to ignore the fact that you don't know, most of you don't know these poems, so that I might be free to read a few of the fifth volume to start us off, because what I arrived at in these recent poems is something that is a transfer for me to that vision of a difference that Tyre is, or proposition that Tyre is, as against, say, Delphi. And if I can find the beginning of this volume, I'd like to run a few of those poems. I read in Toronto just a couple of weeks, a little longer than a few weeks ago. Again, after 2 years, and Toronto is one of the great places on this continent, or was 2 years ago. And in reading, there at that time, I had read a poem from this volume. Which includes a poem of John Smith. Now, John Smith was that man I mean who had to do with Pocahontas and was, as nobody seems to know, the governor of the Virginia colony shortly thereafter. And in an explosion of ammunition on the James River was so badly burned, he had to go back to London. In fact, almost like burned more than half his body, that sort of thing. And he went back and he was cured. And then became the great explorer of the North Atlantic and mapped the Gulf of Maine, Massachusetts Bay, as thoroughly as he had earlier mapped Chesapeake for the Virginia colony, and became by appointment the Admiral of New England after having been the governor of the Virginia plantation. And after one voyage for what was set out for Wales in 1614, he never was able to get back to America again. And in fact was refused by the Pilgrims in 1620 as there as an advisor. In fact, he would like very much to have been able to come over again, knowing that whole situation as their, well, really as their Miles Standish, but it was a more complicated role. And Smith is one of my heroes. And I had read this poem, which is published in Smith's last book, the day of his, the year of his death, 1629 or 30. And it's called The Sea Mock. Aloof, aloof, and come no near, the dangers do appear, which if my ruin had not been, you had not seen. I only lie upon this shelf to be a mark to all which on the same might fall, that none may perish but myself. If in or outward you be bound, do not forget to sound. Neglect of that was cause of this to steer amiss. The seas were calm, the wind was fair, that made me so secure, that now I must endure all weathers, be they foul or fair. The winter's cold, the summer's heat, alternatively beat upon my bruised sides that rue, because too true, that no relief can ever come. But why should I despair, being promised so fair, that there shall be a day of doom? And when I read that, which sits in another poem, which I will read you, which sits in a poem of my own, that leading poetess of Canada questioned me as to whether Smith had written it. Well, I know PhDs, and my wife and I stayed in San Francisco with the wife of a leading PhD who wrote his thesis on how many Elizabethan hacks there were that were capable of writing poems like this. And can you hear?
Not quite.
I got a very big voice. I'm just playing mouse at the moment. And we had a lovely long evening, and the whole audience was involved in my argument that Smith is one of the distinguished English poets, and that with his prose and his poetry, one moves from England to America that early. Now this poem, goes on from that moment of quoting that and says, "And for the watershed, the economics and poetics thereafter, three men coincide. You will find Villon in Fra Diavolo, Albert Hubbardsville, New York. And the prose is Raymond's, Boston, or Brer Fox, Rapala, Patrocino by the Beach, number 429, The American Apos, 1902, or when did Barton, to celebrate how it can be, it is, padded or uncomforted, you're lost, you found your sneakers. Oh, statue, oh, republic, oh, television, the best is soap. The true troubadours are CBS. Melopoeia is for cokes by cokes out of pause. Oh, poets, you should get it. You want to follow that? Shoot. I told you that tape's going on. So the first poem of the fifth volume of the Maximus is this, a later note on letter number 15, which I just read. In English, the poetics became nobler furniture thereafter, after 1630, and Descartes was the value, until Whitehead, who cleared out the gunk by getting the universe in, as against man alone. And that concept of history, not Herodotus's, which was a verb to find out for yourself. Historien, which makes anyone's acts of finding out for him or herself. In other words, restores the traum that we act somewhere, at least by seizure, that the objective, example, Thucydides, or the latest, finest tape recorder, or any form of record on the spot, live television or what is a lie, as against what we know went on, the dream being self-action with Whitehead's important corollary that no event is not penetrated in intersection or collision with an eternal event. The poetics of such a situation are yet to be found out. That I submit as a poem. That was written January 15, 1962, which even further confirms. The next poem in the series is this. $1.28 a mole to get a tire. $1.28 is not. It's like I was talking to Dick Bishop, who's been our host. So when I last night, he tells me the 750 is an important number in American life. See? Well, $1.28 is a highway from Boston to Gloucester. $1.28 a mole. To get it time. The third poem in this series is called View from the Orontes, from where Typhon. Now that is not as obscure as it looks either, but then it's just that problem. You work for a long time on a long poem and you get involved with it and you finally find yourself just composing it, see? What I really mean about reading poems is that they no longer can extricate themselves from each of themselves. somewhere in some poem some years ago, I had a whole big smash about stepping right off the Orontes, a big congested poem. I could read you that passage at least. Oh, yes, certainly. Oh, yes, certainly. It's very interesting because of it's a dirty poem, dirty in the sense of just messing everything up. About a bridge over a river, a very huge highway bridge, which really feeds that Route 128 successfully onto the island that Gloucester and Cape Ann properly is, and wasn't when John Smith charted that situation, but was when Champlain did in 1606. The beach had built up and choked the channel of this river, which previously, when the Indians were in Gloucester, had been a very satisfactory connection between Ipswich Bay and Massachusetts Bay, so that the Gulf of Maine and the whole coast was really a unit. It became a great desire of Massachusetts Bay Colony to open that, to get that cork out of there. Now, of course, it's been a great desire to put this bridge across it. And this poem has to do, in one passage, with this effect of the building of this bridge. Do you know yourselves enough of the history of Tyre to know that the only thing in the world that confronted the universalization that Alexander proposed, which I think is the great compliment to the present, was Tyre? It so refused to be knocked down by this Macedonian athlete that it was the sole place in the world which bucked him. And it took Alexander, if I would be corrected, but was it 3 to 4 years to reduce Tyre? And in order to get at her, he built a mole from the mainland to Tyre, like we did, by the way, to take Mexico City in the Mexican War. You remember how Mexico City was a mole? Oh, is a earth bridge, simply extending earth out until you have a causeway. We did that to that lovely city of flowers, floating Mexico City. You remember that wonderful story about the American, how early our characteristic intrusion upon all places. Remember that wonderful military fact of the Mexican War that we did that thing? Or am I is it Cortez that did it? I think it's Cortez that did it. It was it? I think it was. It was, yes. Sounds very American, right from the start. Well, I object to this damn bridge, and I stake where I am, which is M, in the mud off Five Pound Island, is the grease pit of State Pier. Go away and leave, Rose Troopin, is an English maiden who wrote a lovely history of the founder of the Minister of England, who really supported the United States before she began. Go away and leave, Rose Troopin, myself. I smell your breath, see, an unmellowed river under the roar of A. Pyat Andrew, which is the name of the bridge, hung up there like fission dropping trucks. The face, Samuel Hodgkins, who ran the ferry across that same spot. Samuel Hodgkins didn't show polling, pulling 1 penny per person, 2 for a horse. Step off onto the nation. The sea will rush over. The ice will drag boulders. Commerce was changed. The pathometer was invented here. The present is... Excuse me, that's heavy. The commerce was in, changed. The pathometer was invented here. The present is worse. Give nothing now your credence. Start all over. Step off the Orontes onto land. No Typhon. No understanding of a cave. A mystery caches and so forth. So this some time afterwards. View from the Orontes from where Typhon. The first to navigate those waters, thus to define the limits of the land. Helen, said Herodotus, was only the last of the European girls to be absconded with by the Asiatics. For which reed Phoenicians, Semites sailed. Along those extending lines, rums, there was Manes first, Ninus maybe, there had been Gades, there was Pythias, out into the Atlantic. Far enough up into the north for the Atlantic to be known. Portuguese are part Phoenician. Canary Islanders, Cro-Magnon. Islands to islands, headlands and shores. Megalithic stones. Stations on shores and sable. Then England, and Augustine land. You dig? You want that again? I don't know. Call me if you'd like any one of these again. That problem of scoring is difficult in music. Like, you know, one writes music, one doesn't play it. That's that problem of this kind of a performing situation. I'm Beethoven, not somebody. If you like this score, I'd be happy to read it to anybody. This one, I think, is not a bad score like this one. View from the Orontes, from where Typhon. I'll be back. Don't worry. I got a couple. The first to navigate those waters, thus to define the limits of the land. That really makes me, you know, there's an earlier Maximus way back sometime on Columbus, in which this whole business of the fact that Cyprus, yeah, you know Cyprus, that island just off this point of land that I'm talking about, where the Orontes River comes in, at the northern end of Syria. What is that, a pussycat?
Child.
Huh, child? Is that the bishop's child? A child? Where is there a child? Is there a child in the audience? Help! Well, anyhow, mind you, this is a picture like. There's a picture. See, there's been several pieces of the picture put down before. One is that the island of Cyprus, which I hope I can put in your mind quickly like that, is very close to this point where the Orontes River, which is the main, was the main manageable traffic, trading outlet of the whole of the old Near East to Mediterranean and Atlantic life. And the first step was, the first stop and first step, both weather-wise and sailing-wise, was to the island of Cyprus. Well, there was a big business previously about how from Cyprus to Columbus we get here. Now, this one is poking around in that same place, and I'm talking about those who were the first to navigate those waters, thus to define the limits of the land. Helen, said Herodotus, was only the last of the European girls to be absconded with by the Asiatics. For which reed Phoenicians, Semite sailors. Along those extending lines, rums, there was Manes first, Minos maybe, there had been Gades, there was Pythias, out into the Atlantic. Far enough up into the north for the Atlantic to be known. Portuguese are part Phoenician. Canary Islanders, Cro-Magnon. Islands to islands, headlands to shores. Megalithic stones. Stations on shores and sable. Then England and Augustine land. Trouble?
No, I just...
Yeah, I'll come again. I'll be back, but this, I can't get rid of this. The fourth in the series, now it's one of those things you have to do in order to stay alive. And we happen to live in Gloucester, so... And it's like, it doesn't matter where you live, like the same people occur. This poem is called, no, it's got no name. Okay. The East Gloucester Young Ladies Independent Society has arisen from the flames. The sodality of the female rule has been declared. We will love with kisses each other and serve him as our child. This has an awful lot of local, the next has an awful lot of local allusions in proper names, but I don't believe they should trouble you because, again, like, proper names are all over the place. And if any of you know a great poet who should be here at any moment, I should hope for your sake, Edward Dorn. Do any of you know Dorn's poetry? Well, Dorn was living in Santa Fe. And you see, it doesn't matter. I mean, Santa Fe is the same thing as in Gloucester. Patriotism is the preserved park of John Black, Magnolia Pirate, and Oliver Vieira, his first mate. Ralph Holland Smith, at least, thinks that his intelligence was given him by nature, or his mother or father, for some use which he at least has tried to use it for. Peter Smith borrows his, it is clear, from someone else. Nancy Lauder, it is clear, thinks nature is an ambulance. The wildlife crew of the Nancy Gloucester, Elspeth Rogers, and the former head of the Harvard Business School, and the Brookline lawyer, the Nancy Gloucesters, ahoy, boys, at least Mr. Brown of Old Magnolia made a pass. See, I don't think you were troubled. Now, number six is actually got a title. It's called Book 2, Chapter 37. There's nothing whatsoever to do with anything but what you, if you have the power of recognition or the experience of whom I am imitating, you will know. Beginning at the hill of Middle Street, the city, which consists most... Is that somebody speaking? Did I hear voices? What's that take? Talking back to me. I knew it would have just... Beginning at the hill of Middle Street, the city, which consists mostly of wharves and houses, reaches down to the sea. It is bounded on the one side by the river Annisquam, and on the other by the stream or entrance to the inner harbor. In the fort at this entrance are the images of stone, and there is another place near the river where there is a seated woman image of Demeter. The city's own wooden image of the goddess is on a hill along the next ridge above Middle Street between the two towers of a church called the Lady of Good Voyage. There is also a stone image of Aphrodite beside the sea. 2. But the spot where the river comes into the sea is reserved for the special hydra called the Lernaean monster, the particular worship of the city, though it is proven to be recent, and the particular tablets of Poseidon, written on copper in the shape of a heart, prove to be likewise new. Anybody recognize who that is beside myself? No.
Is it Greek?
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's Pausanias. It's Pausanias, the description of Greece of the 2nd century AD. Do you know that part? It's remarkable. It's very, 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 to me, like twin to Herodotus. He was a traveler, again, like the boys of, like everybody. You know, I got on the road, you know. So really, those first 2 centuries, wow. Phew. Oh, talk about being knocked out. I mean, nobody was at home. And in fact, they did the thing that anybody does who moves. They found very interesting things. And Pausanias, I think Pausanias' description of Greece is comparable to Herodotus. I think for our minds, or our interests, yeah. You know, everything has gotten very interesting and very complicated and very intellectual and very satisfying for inquiry. Honestly, expression has lost ground rapidly, and a look-see is really in business. And this boy is a cat, like Pluto. You know, you dig Pluto? Well, a contemporary, by the way. Plutarch, again, 2nd century. Crazy, 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 crazy record. If the 20th has one resemblance, it has four, but it has one. One is the 2nd century. Beg pardon? Oh, let me hold that up. We'll come to that. How many days are going to be here? I got a lecture on Saturday. I got something for reserve. And I got a lecture on Saturday. I got a really... like, put it out. All I had to do tonight is to have a ball. What am I going to do on Saturday night? It's terrible. I didn't feel as though that one made it, did you? At least it seemed too obscure. It's a postcard. I'll send it to you in a minute. Number 7. The rocks in Settlement Cove, like Drumlick's menhirs. You know what I mean? You know those two words I'm using? Yeah. Drumlick's menhirs. In megalithic, mostly around Brittany and like Old Ireland and Scotland, Denmark, or those stuff. Waterhenge. What is it? No.
Stonehenge.
That's, but smaller. The Brittany stones are smaller than those real megalithics of Stonehenge. Yeah, a burial mark, apparently. There were two forms. I love the two words. In fact, driving up here at night for cold and damp seas, nothing but earth drumlicks and then his. At least those words were, I kept thinking of them all the time. These are cliches. I love them. Drumlick's menhirs. The rocks in Settlement Cove, like Drumlick's menhirs, standing in the low tide, out of the back of the light from Stacy Boulevard on the water at night. Can you get that picture? I'll try one. I think it's there. Yeah, I'll try it again. The rocks in Settlement Cove, like Drumlick's menhirs, standing in the low tide, out of the back of the light from Stacy Boulevard on the water at night. And the next one, dating a short time ago, November 12th, I discovered, 1961. Wow. Peloria. The dog's upper lip kept curling in his sleep as I was drawn to the leftward to watch his long, sharp jaw and sick brown color gums, the teeth flashing even as he dreamed. Maximus is a whelping mother giving birth with the crunch of his own pelvis. He sent flowers on the waves from the mole of Tyre. He went to Malta, from Malta to Marseille, from Marseille to Iceland, from Iceland to Promontorium Vinlandia. Flowers go out on the sea, on the left of the promontorium, on the left of the promontorium settlement cove. I am making a mappamundi. It is to include my being. It is called here, at this point and point of time, Peloria. The next poem has just recently appeared in New York, and I'm trying to think where it did appear. Oh yes, in Leroy Jones's Floating Bear, if you know this remarkable mimeographed magazine which is appearing in our time. Do you know any of you? A very great editor, greatest editor since Robert Creel, and Jones has been putting this thing out for a couple of, maybe it's only a year, the Diane De Prima. She does the typing, most remarkable. No, I say that very, don't think I'm putting it down. Wow, I mean, I published the most terrible thing that was ever written last year, called A Grammar, a book. And it's nothing but parts of speech. And she took my type talking and put it in mimeographs, so there wasn't a... And it's all tilted and squeezed and shoved. And the only trouble is that the mimeograph doesn't make the same effect as the typewriter, but that's not her fault. She did it marvelously. It was like the greatest publishing I've ever had was Miss De Prima. Well, this poem, for some reason, everybody thinks it's awful square. But then I've had more response from it from those who now I've ruined it. Now I should make a pitch. Well, actually, it's a very quiet idea. The title is In the Face of a Chinese View of the City. I was talking to the very man that I wrote this about, the city manager, the other day, and I said, I just published a poem about you in New York called In the Face of a Chinese View of the City. I said, I don't know anything about Chinese. I said, don't mind. I said, you remember Confucius? Oh, yeah, you say, yeah. Well, it just did. It suddenly occurred to me that, well, you know, we all go around living with the past as though it had value, and here we are stuck with what's value? In the face of a Chinese view of the city, on what ground shall we criticize the city manager or the DPW? As easily as we do the superintendent of schools for the texts he buys. For the snow left on the street so a car slews and a boy has a broken side. For the insufficient time the city clerk spends on the earlier records of the city, even if, like dog licenses and births and marriages, he is up to date on the latest of the suit clubs and the bowling alleys. Business is obviously cant, and social life almost entirely liberal, but public office as forever remains distinct and moral, or the life of the individual dwindles into stink. A man in his own kitchen boiling paregoric, is he then and there on an open line to the vein of the police and invadable as such by what term? Cant, mores, praise, accomplishment, obvious competence, clear management of $5 million a year's receipts for expenditures, leaves open what judgment if the color of the lights on the main street turn the lips of women blue and all days are cheery too with the smiles of windows washing clothes? The few and the masses, as though they constituted possible public life, while those who lead them are as cherry red after golf or shoveling their sidewalks clean as Santa Claus is hung from silver wires, fat or lean, dirty or clean, the differences of Santa Claus is not by any tally measure for what is what. The single probity public figure better be. What had he better be? Yeah, I'll read you a better version. I read the type copy. I got the manuscript. I see. And there's a few nice differences, I think. If I can find the second page. Right? I got most of it in manuscript. On what grounds shall we criticize the city manager or the DPW? As easily as we do the superintendent of schools for the texts he buys. For the snow left on the streets so a car slews and a boy has a broken side. For the insufficient time the city clerk spends on the earlier records of the city, even if, like dog licenses and births and marriages, he is up to date on present mechanics of his office. No, that's better than that. He's up to date on the suit clubs, on the latest of the suit clubs and the bowling alleys. Business is obviously cant, and social life almost entirely liberal, but public office as forever remains distinct and moral, or the life of the individual dwindles into stink. A man in his own kitchen boiling paregoric is he then, and there on an open line to the vein of the police. Oh, that's cramped out, let me see. Yeah, that's what I had. Is he then and there on an open line to the vein of the police and invadable as such? By what term? Cant, mores, praise, accomplishment, obvious competence, clear management of $5 million a year's receipts for expenditures leaves open what judgment if the color of the lights on the main street turn the lips of women blue and all days are cheery too? With the smiles of windows washing clothes like all night it was. The point is that, you know, that funny thing with those things. The few and the masses, as though they constituted possible public life, while those who lead them are as cherry red after cherry red after golf or shoveling their sidewalks clean as Santa Claus is hung from silver wires, fat or lean, dirty or clean, the differences of Santa Claus is not by any tally measure for what is what the single probity public figure better be. What had he better be? While on Obadiah Bruin's Island, the Algonquins steep fly agaric in wattleberry juice to drink to sea. While on Obadiah Bruin's Island, the Algonquins steeped fly agaric in waterberry juice to drink to sea. Shag rock, bullseye, and gulls making such a pother on the water in the sun, I thought it was Round Rock Shoal in a southeast. Shag rock, bullseye, and gulls making such a pother on the water in the sun, I thought it was Round Rock Shoal in a southeaster. 13. January 17, 1962. A learned man, said Straybuck, the English of the Mediterranean, as the Greeks, the Germans, the inherited past. I don't even know what the hell I'm referring to. A learned man, said Straybuck. I lost touch with that one. Huh? Doesn't matter, like learned men we know, but was it straight? You know, straight roads are good. Again, I think Second Central. The geographer? Who's responsible for our knowing about Pythias at all, the man of the 4th century B.C. who actually sailed out of Marseille and by the very thing which made Strabo suspicious that he was a liar, Stephenson, who really knows of the present Stephenson, the helmet, who knows like the Arctic, says is the best evidence of the fact that Pythias was really in a certain season off the coast of Iceland in the 4th century B.C. Like, let's really talk instead of crap of Irish and Vikings, and like everything was really in existence in powerful ways back before Alexander. Like, I think, like, there again I'm pushing, but like, don't be fooled by the universalization of the present. The work, the real work of the future has already been done, and the future that is proposed is a lie. See, I didn't know I was going to get that out. Ma'am? Mrs. Hammer?
No.
Oh.
I can't figure out what I'm referring to.
It's a very complicated intellectual problem. like the... wait a minute, you see the whole thing is the English of the Mediterranean. See, it goes on. Gee, that really looks pretty obscure. Even if it's like I've lost. It's very important to me. I can't... I wish I could get it. I wish I could catch... find out. A learned man, said Strabo, the English of the Mediterranean, as the Greeks, the Germans, the inherited past. Sounds like... Can you help me? What am I talking about? Then? Do you know what I'm talking about? That learned man, I can't figure it out. The reference, by the way, the distinction being drawn is between the Phoenicians, who are the English of the Mediterranean, as against the Greeks, who are the Germans, which, wow, you know, like that has never been said, I think, to our knowledge. And I think it's mighty, mighty, mighty important. I think this one is the same day, yes. Cyprus, the strangled Aphrodite, Rhodes. Crete, the mother goddess from Anatolia. Phrygian, Attis. Malta, fat lady, Spain.
Again?
Yeah, sure. Sure, sorry. Cyprus, the strangled Aphrodite, Rhodes. Crete, the mother goddess from Anatolia. Phrygian, Attis. Malta, fat lady, Spain. Same day. After the storm was over, out from his cave at Mount Cassius came the blue monster. Covered with scales and sores about his mouth, flashing not too surely his tail, but with his eyes showing some glare, rowing out gently into the stream to go for Malta, to pass by Rhodes and Crete, to arrive at Ireland, anyway to get into the Atlantic, to make up a boil in northeastern waters, to land in a grapevine corner, to shake off his cave life and open an opening big enough for himself. That's a story. I think it should be enjoyed. After the storm was over, out from his cave at Mount Cassius came the blue monster, covered with scales and sores about his mouth, flashing not too surely his tail, but with his eyes showing some glare,
showing some glare, rowing out gently into the stream to go for Malta, to pass by Rhodes and Crete, to arrive at Ireland, any way to get into the Atlantic, to make up a boil in northeastern waters, to land in a grapevine corner, to shake off his cave life and open an opening big enough for himself. To travel, Typhon, from the old holdings, from taking the old man's sinews out and hiding them under the bear rug, from Sister Delphine, who listens too easily to music, from Ma, who is always there, and get that building up at the corner of Grapevine Road and Hawthorne Lane with Flint Lyle as manager. Up the steps along the porch, turning the corner of the L, to go in the door and face the ladies sitting in the comfortable chairs and greet Simp with the morning's mail. People want delivery. When I used to stop to talk to the Perini sisters or Susumu Hirota, the McLeod sisters who ran the Harbor View, would call up the post office and ask what my truck was doing at the corner of Rocky Neck Avenue. The coast goes from Hurrian Hatsi to Ta. The wife of God was Atharad of the sea. Born on a current flow that strongly, was taken straight through the Mediterranean, north-northwest to Judas waters, home to the shore. Tesserae, connoisseur. Yeah, the little pieces that are used in making a mosaic, they are tessera, the all those pieces of stone and glass and color. Connoisseur. Connoisseur, which means bound together. But it's tesserae, connoisseur. The tesserae underline is a foreign word, and connoisseur. Actually, they're both in the Webster's book. That's really a kind of a run that moves now differently. If I could kind of break a little bit, I'll read you the next poem, but the one beyond it, I haven't been able to write. That's what I said to you. I've got to talk about it, but you get stuck, and you really get stuck. 21. Lane's Eye View of Gloucester, Phoenician Eye View. 1833, 14 October, 443 vessels at anchor in the harbor besides what lay at wharf. And this missing poem. And then this one. That missing poem, by the way, is a story I may not be competent to write. But it should be a story which I know a man who wrote. But I'm involved in that problem, shall I crib him or not? Very great writer. Who won the running broad jump at the first modern Olympics in Athens. James Connolly. What I'd like to do is what he can do and has done, which is to take a vessel from the eastern end of Georgia's shoal, the northeastern end, and run it at night in a easterly through the maze of the shoals of the north end of Georgia without wrecking and getting into clear water on the other side and making the market in Boston. And it really takes experience I don't have.
So I'll have to wait or I'll see what I do with that problem of stealing it from Conley. It's important to me. I have published some, in earlier Maximuses, some such sea stories, one of which I might read after I get through with this sequence, if you're interested, called The Rattler, which has been published in another one of those mimeograph magazines from the West Coast this time, Migrant, which some of you know, mind you. I did it originally on a tape that Duncan and I made for Creeley for his Christmas 2 years ago, two or three years ago. Older than Byblos, earlier than Palestine, and possessed of an alphabet before the Greeks. Round about the pole post, the heavy lines are wound, which hold by the chocks, the windlass when wound, from running back